We'll talk about the testing of our faith. Testing of our faith. You know, sometimes when you hear tests, there are people who say they have test anxiety. Other people say they don't test well. But as I've been doing study, I realized there is a test of faith. And we are covering the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I said every time, every lesson, when we are talking about faith, we'll still be going back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 17 to 19, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. The key word here is tested. The testing of our faith. Abraham was tested. And I was reading another verse today in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, so those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And I was thinking about how we like to identify with Abraham. He's the man of faith, he's the father of faith. But there is a deeper journey he walked. And I want us to just study this and see about the testing of our faith. It is good. All of us have a measure of faith. We have faith. But in life, we go through two kinds of tests. And in those two kinds of tests, one of the tests can cause you to stumble, and the other can cause you to stand. So when you are going through a test, the outcomes are two. Either you stumble or you stand through the test. And we know that when the devil tempts us, he tempts us to do evil. But while we pass through the test that God gives us, he tests us to do good and to make our faith stronger and pure. And we find this in the book of James, chapter 1. Also, James has a lot of references and depth about faith. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So James is encouraging and saying, the faith that we have, the journey that we are in, it's not going to be a smooth sailing. There will be trials, there will be tests. And James is saying, consider it pure joy. Not the fake one. You know, like sometimes you go through stuff and you want to keep a face when you are out among the people. You are smiling. But whatever you are dealing with in the secret is making you cry a lot. But James is saying, in those times when you realize you're going through trial, consider it pure joy. And then he gives us the reason. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So when you hear the word of God saying, because you know, it's because the Lord expects you to know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. In verse 4, he says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Another word for perseverance is patience. So to break it down, when we face trials of many kinds, that testing, that is the testing of our faith, and what it produces is patience. And then we have to let patience finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Again, now let's go back to Abraham. Here is Abraham. He has waited for so long to receive the promise. And then the Lord tests him. He says, give me your son, Isaac, whom you love. God is very specific. You know, there was Ishmael. And maybe if he just said, give me your son, Abraham would have been quite quick to offer Ishmael. But the Lord asked for Isaac, whom he loved. And I want us to answer these three questions today. When we face trials and temptations, the testing of our faith, the questions are, can we pass the test of our faith? So we are coming from the level of, I have heard the word, I have received a promise, I believe. And there you are in the waiting of manifestation of that faith. Then trials come. Can you pass the test of faith? Can we stand confidently like Abraham, who decides even when they got to the mountain that he's not going to go up with the servants? Because I'm sure he knew, if I go with the servants up there and they see me tying up my son, they will gang up on me. They will not allow me to fulfill what I have come to do. So he left the servants at the foothill with the donkeys. He goes with the son, and he is saying, the son is asking, we got the fire, we got the firewood, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham is saying, God will provide. And he goes all the way to the extent of making the altar and tying up his son, meaning he meant business. And that's where we find that in Hebrews 11, it says, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. I want you to imagine such kind of a faith. A faith of total surrender. A faith that says, if God is asking for my son, and he's the one who gave me, even if he dies, my God will raise him up. So I'm not going to stand in the way. I will obey to the very last. And so question number one, when we go through the testing of our faith, one of the things that God needs to see from us is, can I trust God with the possessions he has given me? Can I trust God with the possessions he has given me? Well, you see, God is testing Abraham's faith by asking him to give back his only beloved son. God wanted to know if Abraham loved him more than he loved Isaac. And this is a test of faith that many, many of us fail. Remember that rich young man who came to Jesus, and he asked, what do I need to do to see the kingdom of God? And this man was told, you know, the commandments, obey the commandments. And this guy was like, I do all that. I have no problem with obeying. I love I love God. I obey my parents. I do not break any of the commandments. And then Jesus said, then do this. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Then come follow me. And the Bible says that this man, this young man, because he was really rich, went away very sad. Because that is a test he could not pass. He was not able to part with the possessions that God had given him. So one of the greatest tests that we get tested when it comes to matters of faith, about relying totally on God, is, do you love him more than the possession? Can you trust God with the possession he has given you? Can you give back to him? Sometimes we have seen this in my life. I've trusted God for something. I've had faith about it. And the Lord blesses me. Can you guys hear us?
Yes, we can.
All right. Okay. All right. So, where was I? I'm talking about trusting God on things, and the Lord blesses you, and then you find someone who is in need, and the Lord, you feel the Holy Spirit leading you. Oh, you remember that dress I blessed you with? Can you give this person? Huh? And many a times you feel like, oh no, God, I will pray for the person to get a dress, but not the one I already have. I'm just giving an example of how sometimes our faith is tested. It might not even be in possession. It might be in time. The Lord is asking you, you've been struggling with sleep, and now you no longer struggle with sleep. You are able to sleep. You hit the pillow and you are able to sleep. And then the Lord comes, Holy Spirit comes, and it's like, you need to wake up at 3 to pray. And we struggle. It's like, I just found my sleep pattern, you know? How can I just give that up? So the test of faith, every day our faith is being tested. And one of the questions we need to really answer is, can I trust God with the possessions He has given me? I read something and I'm just going to quote it. God does not want a place in our lives. He desires, deserves, and demands preeminence in our lives. Preeminence means He's supreme. He's the one who has given whatever it is that you have, whatever possession. Can you trust God with it? And so I want you to do an evaluation in your life. And I need you to consider if there is anything you would not give back to God if He asked for it. That is tough, yeah? Is there anything you would not give back to God if He asked for it? All right. The other thing that is tested during our test of faith is this. Can I trust God with the purpose He has for me? Can I trust God with the purpose He has for me? Faith is not primarily believing God in spite of the evidence. It is obeying God in spite of the consequences. You know, one of the things that really shakes our faith is when you know the consequences of what you, when you act in faith, what are the consequences? And those consequences might make you afraid and you feel like you want to disobey, you don't want to follow through. But can we trust God with the purpose He has for us? And this test you pass by obedience, because obedience is the proof of our trust in God. And we see this in Abraham. Such level of obedience that by the time he is raising the knife, the Lord knows, if I don't tell him stop, this man really loves me. His faith is really firm. If I don't stop him, he will slay the son. That obedience is the proof of our trust in God, or our faith in God. So can we trust God with the purpose He has for us? In our journey of faith, how many times have you felt like the path He is leading you is like, it's not making sense, and you'd like to know exactly what is behind the corner before you can take another step? But this test of faith is proved by total obedience. And then number three, as we are being tested in faith, we need to be able to answer this question. Can I trust God with the promises He has made to me? Can I trust God with the promises He has made to me? I remember session two, we talked about, either session two or one, we talked about doubts and identifying where the doubts come in. And once we allow these doubts, the possibility of failing that test of faith is high. Can I trust God with the promises He has made for me? Look at Abraham. We are looking at Abraham today. He is saying that God is able to raise him up even from the dead. He is standing on the promises that I'll be a father of many nations. And on the promise that God said that through Isaac, I'll be a father of many nations. So I'm gonna trust God with the promises He made. I will obey. So he did not fail the test of faith because he knew that God can be trusted. And this calls us to be at the place where we just make this statement. I don't know how he will do it, but he will do it anyway because he said it. Having that faith in God and believing that the promises he has promised you, he will keep. And we find that God provided a ram to take Isaac's place on the altar, and God gave Abraham his son back. One of the most powerful statement of faith I love is the statement that Mary said when she received the promise, you will have a son. And she's like trying to analyze biologically, you know, naturally, and how can it be? And I don't know any. I mean, how can it be? And we fail at that question. How can it be? When it comes to the promises that God has made, many of us fail the test at that question. How can it be? But Mary is told, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall conceive. And Mary says, let it be unto me according to your word. Let it be unto me according to your word. We are, most of us are very analytical, critical. We want to really, you know, apply critical thinking and try to understand these promises. How can it be? But we get to pass this test by being so confident of knowing, even if we don't know how he's gonna do it, because he said it, he will do it. It's not up to us to figure out how he will do it. And again, we're gonna look at Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, the waiting became too long. We said that patience, we should allow patience to finish its work. But Abraham and Sarah are like, we are not going to let patience finish its work. Let's try to help God here. You know, we can do something and still be, figure this out, get this done. And Sarah comes up with an idea. You can take Hagar and Abraham. If it was a man in our days, he would be very proud of the wife who doesn't, you know, the wife is saying, have Hagar. They conceive a way to help God because they are trying to understand how can it be. The Bible says that Sarah's womb was as good as dead. So imagine calculating all those things. It seems like it's impossible. And This is a test that we also go through. When we receive the promise of God, when God says, I will bless you. I remember at one point, my own life experience, God had spoken over my life that I'll become an international speaker. I remember I was 13 years old when Pastor Rai prophesied that over my life. 13. And it gets to a point where there is nothing, not even the sign of like a hand, a cloud of, you know, nothing is showing that I can go anywhere. Huh? That international, nothing. And to make matters worse, as years went by, anything that would have facilitated me getting travel documents, it's like everything was hitting a roadblock. And I remember some years ago, somewhere in a village, doing manual labor, and the sun is very hot. I don't even have slippers, you know, sandals to wear during that time. And we are sharing a sandal with another woman, a friend of mine. She's wearing one and I'm wearing another as we carry manure to the farm. And I hear the airplanes up in the air. And I'm carrying my manure and I tell this woman, Wajeni, nona dega iria. You see those aeroplanes there? God said, I will be an international preacher. One day I will enter the plains and I will go to preach to the nations. And I remember this woman laughing. Say, Wajina iri mogato ni ohoro. You know, like, because the situation I am in and the promise, it's like heaven and earth. But I held on. I knew. I don't know how it's gonna be, but I know I would say I will never die until I see myself preaching in the nations. I would even if I'll get house sick, I knew I'm not dying yet. There is a promise over my life. So this test of faith, there are things, especially the promises of God, that the test of faith is too much, and the Lord wants the patience to produce its work, to finish its work, so that you mature and lack nothing. How are we in passing this test of faith? How are we in passing this test of faith? I saw a quote somewhere and I'm going to use it. It says, we don't live by explanations. We live by promises. We don't live by explanations. We live by promises. No. When our faith is being tested, we want to be informed. Yeah, it's like we need the Holy Spirit to explain to us exactly when did you say this is gonna happen. Give me a timeline. I read a book by this preacher. His name is Yogi Cho, and this book is called The Fourth Dimension. And he said that as he was serving the Lord in Korea, he really loved to study the word, and he was a missionary at a far place, so he would walk. And so one time he started saying, God, give me a table where I can just set up and sit down and read and study the word. And God, give me a bicycle so that I can ride to the mission field. And he would pray. And then the Lord asked him, there are so many tables in the world. Which one do you want? There are so many bicycles in the world. Which one do you want? So this man of God became very specific in his prayer. He was specific even to the dimensions and everything he needs, the brand and everything. And then he read Mark 11:24. The Bible says, whatever you ask in my name, believe that you have receive it, and you shall receive it. And so he believed that he has received it. And so this time he goes to church and gives a testimony. Praise the Lord. I have been praying for a table. I have been praying for a bicycle. And the Lord has given me. Let us rejoice. The Lord has given me. So he didn't know that that act of faith is going to motivate other brothers to come to his house to see. And so they get there and he's like, I am not going to doubt my faith. I know I have it. So the brothers follow him to his house. It is still bare. There is no table. But he believes he already has it. And then they came in. Where is the table and the bicycle? Where are they? He said, they are in here. I've conceived them right here. They are in the womb. I've conceived them. I already have them. And so he started teaching them what the revelation that he got and how he came to believe he already has it. It took some time. Others would laugh at him and say, when are you due? Because, but eventually it manifested. My question for you is this. Is your faith being tested right now? And what level of testing is it? Is it a test of your faith in his promises? Your faith in his purpose over your life? Your faith in his providence, the provision, the possessions that you have received from him? What level of test are you going through? And how are we doing on that test? Can we pass the test of faith? I'm going to pause there for now, and we can take some questions or comments.